Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're blessed to have you listening to the program. If you don't have a home church, you can email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, and I'll try and connect you with a church. I know it's been hard in this pandemic, but we're here to pray for you, to be with you. If you need prayer, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and our prayer team will pray for you. You're not alone. God is with you. We're here for you. We have two passages of Scripture today to look at. We're going to try and cover the ground fast. The Old Testament passage comes from Micah chapter 5, 1 through 5a, and then we'll be in Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. Before we go to God's word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we just pray that your word would be alive and redemptive. We pray that your word would shape us and mold us and fashion us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Micah chapter 5, 1 through 5a. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until that time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Wow, what a wonderful word. Almost 700 years before the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah proclaimed the good news of a coming king. Think about it for a few moments. For 700 years, the story had been passed down from generation to generation that God would send a Savior, and this Savior would be born in a little village of Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Real quick, sidetrack, but Bethlehem is two Hebrew words, Beit Lechem or Beth Lechem. Beit Lechem means house of bread. In a little village called the House of Bread, the bread of life would be born. This shepherd Savior would come in the majesty of the Lord, and his greatness would be known to the ends of the earth. People waited and watched for this day to happen. Some gave up waiting and watching, but not the Magi from the east. They waited, they watched, they went, and they worshiped. Let us listen again to this wonderful story of the visit of the Magi as recorded by Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem and in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was born. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Oh, I love that verse, Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The wise men were wise because they were wise enough to seek Jesus. They were wise enough to ask for information. They were wise enough to worship Jesus when they found him. They were wise enough to seek Jesus. They were wise enough to ask for information. They were wise enough to worship Jesus when they found him. I want to have you look if you've got your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, let me know. I'll get you a Bible. I want you to grab your Bible and look at the action that these wise men took. They came to Jerusalem in verse 1. They asked where the King of the Jews was born in verse 2. They wanted to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews, in verse 2. They went on their way in verse 9. They saw a star, verse 10. They were overjoyed, verse 10. They saw the child, verse 11. They bowed down in worship in verse 11. They opened up their treasure chest, verse 11. They returned home a different way. Well, Epiphany has just happened. Epiphany means manifestation. Epiphany is the day that was set by the early church as the day God manifested Christ, the Savior, to the Gentiles with the coming of the wise men to Bethlehem. Did you know that there are 330 different prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament? Matthew gives us four of them in chapter 2 alone. Think of it for a minute. If you are a mathematician, what are the odds of four of the 330 prophecies being fulfilled by one person? What are the odds of one person fulfilling all 330 prophecies? Well, that's exactly what happens when Christ is born. The story of the wise men visiting the Christ child is an intriguing one. These men waited, they watched, and when they saw the promise of the star fulfilled, they went and they worshiped. Well, we've been waiting for this worldwide pandemic to be under control. We've been waiting for our families to come back together. We've been waiting to go back to school, or at least be in person. We've been waiting for our churches to open so that we can come and worship together. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Maybe my so what question is, what are you waiting for? What are you watching for? Well, I would say with this lockdown and quarantine, I'm sure that many have had the opportunity to watch a lot of TV programs. Some of us have had the opportunity just recently in December to go outside and watch Saturn and Jupiter align and give us a bright star. NASA called it the Christmas star. The next time the two planets will align will be 800 years. I wonder if this is the star that the wise men were searching for. But the real question is, what are you waiting and watching? Can you comprehend this story of the wise men from the east? This traveling caravan of wise men and servants began a long trip to Israel simply because of a particular star was out in the sky, alerting them to the birth of the King of the Jews. They traveled for several months before they finally met the Christ child. I believe this is more than just a story to entertain us. It is a story to teach us about our own personal response to Christ, the child born King of the Jews. Well, maybe a good little so what for each one of us is, what is our response to the child born King of the Jews? We do not know much about the wise men, who they were, how many of them they really were, how long they traveled, what routes they traveled. We're not told how they knew about the birth of the child or how they knew to follow the star. Maybe for 700 years, the story had been passed down from father to son, mother to daughter, telling them to wait and to watch for the star because a new king would be born soon. There had been many debates about the star the wise men followed. Was it really a star, a comet, or the Shekinah glory of God? The Shekinah glory is the glory the shepherds saw when the angels appeared to them. Over the years, tradition has narrowed it down to three wise men because, well, they brought three types of gifts. And they've been named. They've been given them names. Caspar, Melchior, Balthasar. I assume they were narrowed down because of the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We do know that in the days when Christ was born, gold was a gift given for kings, Frankincense was a gift given for the priest, and myrrh was given to those who died. Can you find Christmas already in this story? Even in the shadow of the manger, the cross is forthcoming. We could spend our time talking about the gifts and their significance. We could relate the gifts to what gifts we could bring. But what I'd like to do is for us to reflect on the three different responses to the birth of the Christ child in this story of the wise men. Herod and the people of Jerusalem were uncomfortable. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were unwilling. And the wise men were unleashed. Uncomfortable, unwilling, and unleashed. After celebrating Christmas, I wonder which one we are. Matthew tells us in verse 3 that Herod and the people of Jerusalem were uncomfortable. Matthew puts it this way, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. The verb used for frighten in the original Greek is very descriptive and has been translated into English with many different words like disturbed, terrified, or frightened. The verb is in the active voice and it literally means to shake, to stir, or to agitate. Herod would have been agitated, terrified, and frightened when he heard the news that the Magi, the wise men from the east, had come to town looking for the child who was born king of the Jews. Herod's political power was at stake. Herod wanted to be the one and only king. News of another king would have terrified him and made him quite agitated and uncomfortable. Great King Herod threatened by a tiny newborn infant. Have you run into people who are uncomfortable with the news of Christ being born King of the Jews, the Messiah, Savior, and Lord? Maybe they are uncomfortable because in their own little world, there's no room for any person other than them to be great. Uncomfortable, terrified, frightened, agitated, and disturbed is the first response of King Herod to the news of the birth of Christ. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Uncomfortable or unwilling? The second response to the Magi is illustrated by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They were unwilling. I find it interesting that when Herod feels uncomfortable, he calls for the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Tell me, where is the Messiah to be born? Herod says. Here were the key scholars of the Jewish religious society. The Sadducees were the chief priests who ruled and controlled the temple, and the Pharisees who were the scribes and the teachers of the law. Don't you find it interesting that they proved to Herod that they knew where Christ was to be born? They say, in Bethlehem. But yet they were unwilling to believe the news they heard from the wise men. Trust me, of all the people on planet Earth, these people knew. They had been told the story for over 700 years. The shepherd king would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was 5 miles away. Don't you think if we had been waiting for something like this to happen, well, we would stroll over for a look for ourselves? I mean, come on, 700 years of waiting? These guys were unwilling, plain and simple. A story has been told of a young mother and her 5-year-old child doing their last-minute shopping for Christmas. The young mother was rushing in and out of aisles in the department store, trying desperately to complete her final task. It was in one of those busy aisles that the mother lost the hand of her little boy. And after a few minutes, she realized her son was missing. Becoming terrified, she began to run up and down the aisles looking for her son. To her amazement, she saw him kneeling down at the front of the store in front of a manger scene. When the mother reached her son, she began to scold him and ask him what was he doing. The little boy looked up with wonder in his eyes and exclaimed that the baby Jesus was lying in the manger. While the mother grabbed her son's hand, pulled him to his feet and said, "Sweetheart, we don't have time for that right now." Wow, right there in front of her was Christmas. She had been so busy planning and shopping that she swept by the moment. This poor mother was so wrapped up in her to-do list that she was unwilling to be interrupted. For the chief priests and the teachers of the law, accepting the news of the birth of the Christ child would mean a change for them in their political power and religious influence. It would mean that this Christ child was more than a story foretold from long ago. Acknowledging this Christ child meant that there was a real person born to rule and reign as King, Savior, Lord, and Shepherd of their lives. For these guys, there was a lot at stake, a lot of personal power and influence. Can we identify? I think we can. I know of many people who are unwilling to respond to the news of the child born King of the Jews. For over 2,000 years, the news of the birth of Christ has been proclaimed in songs, books, movies, churches, and by individuals, yet there are many who are simply unwilling to respond. Why? Responding to the news would mean giving up power and control, and giving Christ control to be our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, and our King. The chief priests and teachers of the law were unwilling to give up their power, their control, and religious influence. The frantic mother? Well, she had a list to conquer. She didn't have time for unplanned interruptions. I love the story of the wise men because it paints a picture of true worshipers. The Jewish leaders had the letter of God's word. The Magi had way less knowledge of the true God, but they knew and they believed and they followed. The Greek word Magi means great. These Magi were great among their people, like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. But these wise men were wise enough to keep seeking. They were wise enough to notice a new star on their horizon. They were wise enough to make plans to follow it. They were wise enough to ask Herod for further directions. Well, you know, a lot of people joke that Moses wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because he never asked for directions. The wise men stopped and asked for directions. These wise men asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and we have come to worship him." Verse 11 of Matthew tells us, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped. The wise men were not uncomfortable like King Herod. They were not unwilling like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. These wise men were unleashed to worship Christ. What a wonderful image of true worshipers. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, there's a story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well in Samaria. And we're told that the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. The wise men were unleashed to worship the newborn king. Wow, wouldn't it be great to have a DVD of that scene? Worship the King by the three wise men. What do you think of when you think of worship? Worship can be done kneeling in adoration or standing in admiration. Worship can be sung in psalms and classical or traditional hymns, or in a chorus of praises. Worship can happen in a quiet, contemplative atmosphere with hands folded, or in a loud hand-raising experience. We have learned that worship can happen virtually on a computer screen. Worship is a matter of our hearts being unleashed to the wisdom of Christ. King Herod was not unleashed. He felt threatened by a baby. The chief priests and teachers of the law were too afraid of losing their power and influence. They weren't unleashed. They were too busy to travel 5 miles. So what? What do these ancient words really mean to us? What do the wise men have to do with us today? What can we learn from them? I believe that at times we're a lot like King Herod. We're uncomfortable. I believe that at times we're a lot like the chief priests and the teachers of the law, unwilling. My hope and prayer is that we will learn to overcome our uncomfortable unwillingness and instead become unleashed. Unleashed with the news of the birth of the Christ child. Unleashed like the wise men to bow down and worship the King with the gifts of our lives. We sit at the brink of a new year. The slate is clean. The canvas of 2021 is blank. Are we going to be uncomfortable? Are we going to be unwilling? Are we going to be unleashed in 2021? Jonathan Edwards, the 18th century revivalist, sat down at age 17 and penned 21 resolutions by which he would live his life. He added to this list until by his death he had 70 resolutions. Edwards put it at the top of his list. This is what's at the top. Being sensible that I'm unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions, remembering to read over these resolutions once a week. Edwards did not casually make New Year's resolutions with the expectation of eventually breaking them. Each week he did a self-check. He regularly summed up how he was doing and sought God's help in the process. So what are your resolutions for this new year? What are we going to write on our slate for 2021? What are we going to light on the, what are we going to paint under the canvas of our lives in 2021? That's my question for you. When I became a Christian, my mentor and pastor asked me to pick a life verse. The first verse that I memorized was Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. But the verse I chose as my life verse was from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul writes that letter when he's in prison. Well, we've been in prison a lot during this lockdown quarantine. But my life verse is Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's my life verse. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to share in the suffering if it takes that, becoming like him in his death so I can have a resurrection life like his. But what I want you to think about is what he continued to say to the church in Philippi, to the Philippians. Listen to verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle wrote this letter to the Philippians because he wanted them to forget what was behind and he wanted them to strain forward what is ahead. He wrote that because he wanted them to win the prize of the high calling of Christ. My so what question for you today as you make New Year's resolutions, are you in it to win it? Are you going to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead? As the wise men waited, watched, went, and worshiped, are you ready to wait, watch, and worship? Are you in it to win it? Whatever our personal resolutions may be, whatever our resolutions for your church or your family may be, I pray we seek God's help, regularly check on how we're doing, and I pray we become unleashed to be in it, to win it, to finish the race that is set before it. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we will all be unleashed. Unleashed to seek Christ, unleashed to ask for directions, and unleashed to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. God of creation, your love is so amazing. Help us to not be like Herod, uncomfortable because we only have enough room for one king, me, myself, and I. Help us not to be like the chief priests and teachers of the law, unwilling to let the news of Christ rule in our hearts. But let us become unleashed like the wise men, foolish to abandon ourselves fully by following the newborn king. May we all be unleashed to seek you, to follow you, to find you. May we be unleashed to worship you in spirit and in truth. Give us dreams and visions of your great love and lead us by your guiding light. We pray we will wait, watch, and worship. We pray our gifts will be gifts fit for a king. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and be unleashed. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.